Again, this week is Parshas Tzav, and I know we said this is going to be Tameh HaMitzvos related to the Parsha, but again, it's a lot of Korbanos in this week's Parsha, and Pesach is still coming, so we're going to pick a different mitzvah of the Seder night in order to reflect upon. And hopefully last week we spoke about matzah and what a person should be thinking about or contemplating when it comes to the eating of matzah. We spoke about emunah and the idea that there's something above us, and the idea that matzah and mezonos is meant to elevate us and to help us grow. So we're going to talk about something that is often misunderstood at the Pesach Seder, even in its simple pshat, even if it's simple understanding, but also perhaps on a deeper level, what is the role of korech? Let's discuss korech, this sandwich, as they like to call it, and we'll talk about the halacha very quickly, and we'll talk about a little bit hashkafa as well. There is a great amount of confusion that comes as to why we are performing korech. So maybe if you read the paragraph, the people say the before after, Zecher Glimigdash Hillel, something about Hillel from the Gemara, and something about the Beis HaMikdash. But I want to give a basic understanding of what's going on, and then to give a deeper understanding as well. The mitzvah of matzah is midah oraisa, according to all of the opinions, because in the two places the Torah talks about eating matzah, one time it is tied to the maror and the korban pesach, and one might lead to think that maybe matzah is only a mitzvah from the Torah if you have the korban pesach, but in another place, the Torah says as well, you eat matzah even if there's no Korban Pesach. So eating matzah nowadays is a Torah commandment because matzah is its own independent mitzvah, irrespective of eating Korban Pesach. The problem, though, is that when it comes to maror, the Torah is very clear that maror is eaten with the Korban Pesach and only eaten with the Korban Pesach. And if there's no Korban Pesach, which, because of our sins, so then we don't have the mitzvah of maror according to the Torah nowadays. And that is how we pass the halacha. When you have maror, you know, this coming Wednesday night and Thursday night, so then you'll understand that that is a mitzvah midorabanan. It's not a Torah-level commandment. That leads to the following question. If a person eats matzah and maror in one bite, meaning in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when you had the Korban Pesach, and the matzahs back then were much softer. They were kind of much more like a lafa, and many Sephardim nowadays still eat soft matzahs. From what I'm told, apparently they don't necessarily taste that much better than hard matzahs. They just are not as crunchy. So it's really meant to be like a korech, like a sandwich. You wrap it together. Korech doesn't mean a sandwich. Korech means to have a wrap. So you take the lafa of the matzah, and you put a little, you know, lettuce inside, and you put some little korban pesach, a little shorma, and that's really what the korban pesach was meant to be in its original form. But nowadays, when the maror is midorabanan and the matzah is midoraisa, so if a person eats maror and matzah in one bite, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, because when the maror and the matzah are eaten together, the maror does what to the matzah? It changes the taste. We don't want to dilute and change the taste of the matzah, so on purpose, we don't eat maror and matzah together in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the matzah. Because you want to have the taste of matzah only and not have that rabbinic maror drown out the matzah. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when both matzah and maror were midoraisa, they were both from the Torah, so it was okay to have them together because they were both on the same level. But you don't want the lower thing, the maror nowadays, to cancel out the higher thing, the matzah. So as a policy, we eat matzah by itself to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. That's step one of the Seder. According to Hillel, you have to fulfill the mitzvahs together. A kezias of maror and a kezias of matzah, because that's how it's written in the Torah. Now, that's in the Torah perspective. Even Hillel, the great tzaddik, agrees, though, that you don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah nowadays with a sandwich, because why? Maror does what to the matzah? What does it do?
It takes away,
it overpowers it, and therefore we don't have it nowadays. The reason we have korech, says Hillel, is to fulfill the mitzvah of maror. Korech is what? It's maror part two. Korech at the Seder is an additional way to fulfill maror. First you have maror by itself, And then you have maror with matzah as an additional way to fulfill it. We eat the maror as a zecher l'migdash. What does zecher l'migdash mean?
To remember
what they did back then. We remember that they had maror in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Says Hillel, because we want to remember what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, so we have our maror together with matzah. That's the opinion of Hillel. Okay? So korech is maror according to Hillel's opinion. Chazal, the other rabbis, they disagree with Hillel. And the other rabbis say that maror doesn't need matzah along with it. They understand that if you eat matzah with the maror, then there's going to be a problem. The matzah and the maror they ruin each other. Hillel understands, no, you need to have both together. They're both, you know, he views them both as a rabbinic level, and therefore they can both be eaten together. So the halacha, we don't paskin between the Hillel and the Chachamim. What do we do on the night of the Seder? We follow both opinions. First we have matzah, which is the Torah commandment, and then we have maror to fill the opinion of the rabbis, who say maror should be alone, and now we have maror with matzah to fulfill the opinion of Hillel. And that is what we are doing. Even Hillel is correct, and that this mitzvah of maror, we already made the bracha before on a separate matzah and maror, and therefore that's why when you have korech at the Seder, you're not really supposed to talk until after you finish your korech. You're supposed to wash for your matzah, eat the two kazaisim of matzah, then go straight into make a bracha on the maror, then go straight into have the korech, and then you can talk. It's a lot of crunching for a long time. Really, there should be nobody talking at the Seder. It's no different between talking between any bracha and any mitzvah. You wouldn't talk between, you know, the bracha and halal and saying halal. You wouldn't talk between, you know, making the bracha of washing your hands on Tehillat Sadayim. You shouldn't talk until after korech is swallowed. That's really the last time. All that should be by the Pesach Seder is the sound of crunching lettuce and matzah, like for the next like 10 minutes. And any talking, this should only be relevant to, can I have more matzah, please? Or I didn't get enough, or, you know, nothing else. But that should really be the entire conversation during that time, okay? We can talk about the idea of the way korech is wrapped. It's supposed to be a korech. Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rav Shechter both say that's why, really, you should take your, let's assume for a second that romaine lettuce is the right maror, which it is, but let's just assume that for a second. You should really take the romaine lettuce and you should use that as a wrap. You should take the matzah and wrap the romaine lettuce around the matzah, because korech means to have a wrap. Korech doesn't mean a sandwich.
Why do people do sandwiches?
Because there's a mistranslation of the word korech. Korech people. Because if you look like in a secular,
yeah,
like,
ask,
I'll tell you in a second. If you look in a secular, like not religious, you know, like Haggadah, they'll call it like Hillel sandwich. Because they're not sure what they're doing. So they call it like Hillel. Like Hillel was like, oh, this would be awesome. Like we took some matzah, we put it between two slices, we had romaine lettuce, and that would be delicious. Hillel wasn't sitting around thinking of like an exciting sandwich to make. Korech means a wrap. The kroach means to wrap something. So this is what I do at my Seder. I take the kazayas of matzah, I break into like a few pieces. I take a piece of romaine lettuce and I wrap it around the masa. So now I have. It's also much neater and easier to eat because it all
crosses.
If you use horseradish, so then it's hard. It might be a proof as to why romaine lettuce is the right thing. But we're not gonna. You'll discuss this more in class. I don't want to get too much into more right now. It's very clear, according to almost all opinions, that romaine lettuce is the preferred maror. I'm not here to ruin anybody's Pesach Seder, but I will make the following point. No one should feel like social pressure to eat horseradish if it's going to make them cry and want to rip out their tongue. Because romaine lettuce is really considered to be the preferable maror according to Chazal. But again, I don't want to spend too much time on maror. We can discuss maror another time. Let's jump into the discussion about korech. So there is a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, Shlosha hema niflu mimeni, va'arba lo yadatim. So this is the source that you have in front of you. We'll go to what the source is in a second. But it says in Mishlei, Shlosha ela niflu mimeni, There are three things that are beyond me. V'arba lo yadatim. And there's a four things that I cannot comprehend. So the Medrash writes, the Vayikra Rabba writes, Medrash and Vayikra Rabba says, Shlosh Eila Elu Pesach Matzo Maror. The three things that are beyond me, says Shlomo HaMelech, are Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. V'arba lo yadatim Elu Arba Minim Shebeluvav. And the four things that I can't comprehend are the Dal Minim. Now, that's a strange medrash. What does Pesach Matzah Mar have to do with Dal Minim? And what's so incomprehensible? What can't be understood about these things? And what's so complicated? I don't know. Korban Pesach, eating matzah, Mar, Dal Minim. I don't know. I think like a second grader can figure out what they're about. It doesn't. What is it that Shlomo HaMelech can't comprehend? So there's a lot of discussion about this medrash. The Divrei Chaim, the Sanzer Rav, says that Shlomo was confused as to how one could fulfill the shita of eating Pesach, Matzah, and Mar all at once while swallowing a kazayas all at the same time. Meaning Shlomo was confused, how could you eat and swallow that much food all at one sitting? That's what he was confused about. There's an opinion that maybe if you have, you know, usually like when like brothers come back from yeshiva and they learned a lot extra stuff, so they'll think that they have to, there's a shita, you have to have, you know, two kazayas and a matzah. And there's an opinion of Chaim Soloveitchik, you have to swallow the whole thing at once. So they like take like, you know, like all this matzah, they chew it up into like a giant like ball in their mouth and you try to like swallow it at once. It's not a smart thing to do. And it's not, there's no reason to choke on the night of the Seder. But that's, so that's what the Divrei Chaim says. But I want to share with you now is a really beautiful interpretation of this Medrash that really brings together what Korach is about. What we're going to quote from right now is the Sefer Shir Ma'on. The Shir Ma'on is written by Rav Shimon Sofer. He is the great grandson of the Chassam Sofer, and he was the Av Beis, and he was the rabbi of the city of Erloy. Erloy was a city in Hungary. After the Holocaust, the city was wiped out. The descendants of the Chassam Sofer would eventually make Aliyah, and they would move to their entire court, the entire, you know, group. They came to like Hasidim, even though the Chassam Sofer wasn't Hasidish. This family became tied with Hasidus, and the Erloy Hasidim, who were descendants of the Chassam Sofer, would make Aliyah, move to Eretz Yisrael, which is the area of like near Katamon and the Greek colony, which is not like Mei Sharon. They have like an interesting location where they are. It's actually like four houses away. Their basement is like four houses away from where my parents live. And these in this like interesting like place in like Katamon, which is like all like generally like religious Zionists, like Mizrahi, you know, people who live in Yerushalayim, there's like these Hasidim who live like in the middle of this community. It's a very interesting dynamic. So the founder of this branch of Hasidus, who was not really a Chassid, Rav Shimon Sofer, so he was the editor of his great-grandfather's works. The Chassam Sofer's Chidushim on the Torah called the Torah's Moshe, and the Chassam Sofer on the Torah, and he published his grandfather's works. All the stuff we have from the Chassam Sofer and the Torah come because of the efforts of the great-grandson. Now, he also had his own Divrei Torah, and at that time, he kind of included them into his grandfather's Torah. So you open up the Chassam Sofer on the Torah, and the Torah's Moshe, so you'll see the words of the Chassam Sofer mixed together with the great-grandsons. Now, that seems a bit of a balgaiva, right? He's putting his own words to his grandfather. So what he did was, in the original printings, he would put a star next to the things that were his ideas, right? So when it was him, he would put a star. Everything else was the Chassam Sofer. The problem is that people didn't realize what the star was for because they didn't read the introduction. And people for like 100 years were saying things in the name of the Chassam Sofer, but they really belonged to the great-grandson. So in the newest printings of the Shir Ma'on, what the printers did is they took his stuff out and they put it in the back. So the original stuff in the front is the Chassam Sofer, and the stuff in the back is Rav Shimon Sofer. So this is from the Shir Ma'on, his comments on the Haggadah, which is printed in the back of the Torah's Moshe of his great-grandfather, the Chassam Sofer. Let's see what he says. He says, Yesh Lomar, Deklal Yisrael Yesh Kisos Chalukos. There are many different groups and types and differences amongst the Jewish people. Ha'echad Tzadikim Gemurim, Talmidei Chachamim Bali Maisim Tovim. Some people are Tzadikim, and they have a lot of good midos, and they daven nicely. Domim lePesach, this is like the Korban Pesach. Shu Kodesh, which is very holy. Umuatam lachol tzli eish, no sin recho, and it has a pleasant aroma, and it's very nice. What does this sound similar to? like the dal and minim, right? We know that the esrog has a pleasant taste and a pleasant smell. That's the tzaddikim. So he says they overlap with each other. Habez, the middle category, hamumutzaim, hapshutim, domim lematza. That's like matza. Shumaycha lecha mamutza. It's kind of like a balanced food. It's not great, but it's not bad. Matza is kind of like in the middle. It's like a beinoni, someone who's in the middle of their avodas Hashem. They're not terrible, but they're not not amazing. Vahagimel, the third category, himagruyim is the lowest level. Harishayim gemurim, people who openly, knowingly do the wrong thing. Midosayim, they don't have any midos. Or maisim hamarim, they have bitter actions. Dom lamar, they're like marim. So the Pesach, the matzah, and the marar represent different categories of Jews. Vahamedrish mechalei klai yisrael la'arba kisos. Kengeneged hadal aminim shavululav yan b'medrish. And the medrish seems to also divide the Jewish people into four categories, like the dal minim. The people have good maisim tovim, but not mitzvos. People have mitzvos, but not maisim tovim. All different categories. V'chein hu b'pay yom rishin shal sukkos. This is what's discussed in the piyut, the poem that many people say on sukkos. V'nei, shihya ha'achtus bein ha'kisos ha'elu. To have a unity between these different groups is kasha ma'od. It's very hard. L'man hig ha'achid osam. To lead them, to unify them. Shekol ma shiyasher b'nei hazeh, ra b'nei chavera. Because whatever makes sense and is right for this group is 100% wrong according to the other group. Rak imhu anvasan godol v'savla me'od. He says the only way to have total unity amongst these people is if a person is humble and there's a lot of patience. Ulezeh Hillel. And who is the person who's able to have humility and patience for every Jew? It's Hillel. Shaya anav mikol adam, who is so humble. Hayakorech Pesach Matzah Marar. Hillel is the one who wraps together the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror. Shemeramez al kisos eilu shayayachol esached yachad. Hillel is the one who could take all different types of Jews, of all different types of backgrounds, and bring them together. V'shlomo hamelech al v'shalom. Amar shlosh eilu hayus hayinu Pesach Matzah Marar. So Shlomo Melech was saying, the Pesach, the Jews who are tzaddikim, the Matzah, the Jews who are in the middle, the Mar, the Jews who are not so great. Shemeramez al gimel kisos elu, niflu umechusin imeni. Says Shlomo, how could you possibly bring so many different types of Jews together? V'arba hainu arba minim, and that the four people that are beyond Shlomo are the different types of the lulav, that also represents different types of Jewish people. L'yadatim ha'ich l'chavrim l'achtam v'lo yigru avonus Hashem Yisbarach. How can I bring them together without also washing out and limiting and lowering one's avodas Hashem? There are so many different types of Jews, and whatever is proper in the eyes of one group is totally wrong in the eyes of the other group. If one person thinks that learning in kol all day is the best thing to do, and the other one thinks that's 100% wrong and they should go get a job. One thinks the state of Israel is a sign for the coming of Mashiach, and the other group thinks that maybe it's not. One thinks that this hechsher is the best hechsher in the world, and the other one thinks that this hechsher is maybe not so good. How can they all possibly fit and work and sit together at the same table? And that was the question of Shlomo Melech. Along comes the Baal Haggadah, comes the author of the Haggadah, and he suggests that the answer of Shlomo Melech is that only if a Jew is extremely humble and very patient can he group together different factions and different parts into one wrap. And the model is Hillel. Hillel, who created the Korech with Pesach, Matzah, and Marah to put everybody together. He was a person who could bring all different types of Jews together and sit them together at the same table. So let's discuss for a moment, how is it that Hillel was able to do that? What is it about Hillel? Where do we see in Hillel his approach to life and the way he viewed things? So I want to bring a number of different examples to show you that this was Hillel's worldview. It's the way he approached everything in life. Let's give an example. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that according to Beis Shammai, the bracha on the Havdalah candle is Borei Me'or Ha'esh, who created the light of the fire. Do we follow that opinion?
No.
We know we don't do that, right? We follow Beis Hillel, that there are many different shades in the flame. When you have a flame, it's not just one light. There's blues, and there's oranges, and there's yellows, and there's reds, The flame contains all different types of colors to be recognized. And therefore the bracha is Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. Hillel sees a lot of different things being unified together in one area. The Gemara in Ksuvos tells us famously that when you go to a wedding and you dance before the Kala, what should you say? Kala na'a v'chasuda. Ketzin meraktim lefnei ha'kala. It's a song, but it's also a Gemara first. Ketzin meraktim lefnei ha'kala. Hillel says you should say Kala na'a v'chasuda, that she's a beautiful and a righteous Kala. Now Beis Shammai says, doesn't the Torah say midvar sheker tirchak? We shouldn't tell a lie. So Beis Shammai says, if the Kala is not na'a, and she doesn't have good midos, so you shouldn't say that. You should just be quiet. You shouldn't say that she's an ugly witch. That's not what you should say. But you should, don't say anything. You shouldn't lie, says Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel responds and he says, Lo'olam yehidaito shel adam mu'ureves imabrios. A person should always be with people, a nice person, try to get along with people, to be able to handle different perspectives. Says Hillel, I'm not telling you to lie to the Kala. What I'm telling you is to have a broader perspective of what is beautiful. What might be beautiful for this chassan might not be beautiful for another one, but in his eyes, she's beautiful. And therefore, Hillel says, Kala na v'chasuda. Again, Hillel says, you have to be broad. You have to expand a little bit more beyond the strict, rigid view of what you think is correct. The Gemara Nechulin says in Daf Kuf Dalet that Beis Hillel says that you can't have chicken and milk on the same table. You can't eat it on the same table. Why? Because you might come to partake and mix the two together. You're having pizza, this person's having a chicken sandwich. I might forget it for a moment, and I might try to have from one meal. Says Hillel, people naturally want to get along. People want to be friendly. People want to share. I want to try what you're having. You want to try what I'm having. And therefore, they're going to end up eating chicken and milk together, and that would be a problem. Hillel sees unity in people coming together. We're all familiar with the famous Gemara in Shabbos. Hillel is approached by a terrible nuisance, Erev Shabbos, asking him ridiculous questions, right? How can the people from this country look like this? And how come their feet are like this? And how come this country the eyes are like that? And he asks him all these annoying questions, all because he made a bet. What was the bet? That he bet $100 that he could get Hillel, the tzaddik, upset. So he would interrupt him, like in the shower, like scrubbing out like a shampoo. And like, Hillel, I have an urgent question. And like Hillel comes out of the shower and he puts on his robe. He's like, yes. He's like, how can the people in this country have feet that are big? So Hillel gave him like an answer, and then he goes back into the shower. And then like 5 minutes later, Hillel is like cutting his toenails for Shabbos. He's like, Hillel, I have an urgent question. Please come out. So Hillel's like, oh my gosh, urgent question. This is very important. He puts on his robe. He comes out. He's like, how can the people in this country, their eyes look like this? And Hillel gives him an answer, and he answers the question. He sends him on his way. This goes on 3 or 4 times. And Hillel has the patience for this nudge who's being really annoying. Or the guy who wanted to convert on the condition they didn't have to follow Torah Shebaal Peh. That's ridiculous. Who would accept such a ger to convert and not follow Torah Shebaal Peh? And instead of chasing the guy away, being impatient with such a foolish request, he tells him, whatever is hateful to your friend, do, don't do. The rest is a commentary. Go and learn it. Or the guy who wanted to convert on condition that he could be the Kohen Gadol. That's crazy. He can't even be a Kohen, let alone be the Kohen Gadol. And Hillel sits with him, and he opens up a Chumash, and he teaches him how you can still feel special as a Jew, even without being the Kohen Gadol. Or the story of the guy who wanted to convert on condition that Hillel teach him the whole Torah standing on one foot, like we just said as well. And Hillel again guided him patiently. In all of these cases, the mida of Hillel is to see each person and to meet them at their level. This is where this person is holding. It's not where I'm holding, and maybe it's not where I even want them to be holding. But I see each individual where they are in life, and I respect their particular position. Hillel saw, in all of these cases, there were faults. There were people who were making mistakes. People were doing the wrong thing. But I'm going to meet you where you are, and I'm going to respect what you're holding without compromising on my values. He didn't bend and give in, right? In any of those cases, to Hillel say, oh, of course I'm going to convert you. Oh, we'll find like a shady Beis Din and we'll give a few dollars and we'll make it work and, we'll figure something out. No, Hillel was uncompromising in his own values, but he also was broad enough and humble enough to respect each person where they were. He was broad enough to appreciate every Jew and to meet them on their level in order to draw them close. So now, I think it's obvious why Hillel is the one to create the Korech and that rap, Zecher LeMikdash. In a time where the Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror were all eaten at once. Because in order to tolerate a Pesach, a Matzah, and a Maror all being wrapped together, you need to be a Hillel. You need to be someone who's uncompromising in your values. You don't give in to other people, but you're also humble enough and you're patient enough to see different people where they are, whether they appear to be more religious than you, or less religious than you, or a little bit different than you. I can see this person as they are as an individual and respect them and value them without becoming them or changing who I am. And that is really the shita of Hillel. Rav Shimon Schwab, in his Mayim Beis HaShoeva, which is his major work on Chumash, so he has a few comments on the Haggadah. So Rav Schwab says, what is this idea of Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu and its relationship to the Arba Banim? Right? After we discuss the four sons, the Arba Banim, we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Tor Le'am Yisrael. So Rav Schwab points out that there's only really one other major area where we refer to Hashem as HaMakom. Here we're saying Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Hashem. Where's the other area where we refer to Hashem as HaMakom? We're Menachem Aval, right? Yeah. We're Menachem Aval, we say HaMakom Menachem Eschem, B'Soch Shara Ve'etzim Yerushalayim. What does that mean? So says Rav Schwab, the name of Hashem being HaMakom means that a person understands that Hashem is the Dayan HaEmes, Hashem is the true judge, and that whatever Hashem has dealt him is exactly the way it's supposed to be, and this is the way that Hashem deems that this person is supposed to have it. So a person is sitting Shiva, and a person is Menachem Avol. They say Baruch HaMakom. They say HaMakom Menachem Eschem. They say Hashem, who is everywhere and fills the whole world, this is what He's given you, and you should feel comfort in that this is what the cards that were dealt to you by Hashem. So says Rav Schwab, what's the connection between this and the four sons? Because often a person has, certainly parents and grandparents, have a certain view of what they think their Seder is going to look like. They thought that their children would behave in this certain way, and they would be all chachamim, and everything would be perfect, and all their hopes and dreams. And they would look a certain way when they sat by the Seder table. But what the reality is, people come to the Seder table, and it's not the way they planned it. There's a chacham, there's a rasha, there's a tam, there's someone who doesn't know how to ask. You don't get the seat you want at the Seder, and it goes too long, it goes too short, and the cousin you don't like is there, and you have to sit next to this one you don't like, and this or whatever. The Seder doesn't always turn out to be the picture-perfect thing we imagine in our head. So you know what we say? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem, this is the Seder that I have. I have whatever situation I'm able to be in with my family, some of my family, some friends, no friends, alone during Corona, after Corona. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, this is the Seder I've been given. And your person has a broadness to appreciate whoever it is at their Seder. Okay, I could have done without this person at the Seder. But you know what? This is the Seder that Hashem gave me. This is the Seder that I'm supposed to have. I have a broadness. I have an openness. I appreciate whoever comes to the Seder. We all know what happens when we eat the Korech. The Korech is the broken matzah held together by bitter herbs and some charoses. The matzah was once whole, so to the Jewish people, we can become crushed, we can become divided, but we're held together by a common bound of Torah, a common shared historical experience, and hopefully a common love for one another. The message of the Korech, of the Hillel sandwich, as we sit there by Leil HaSeder, is to be as broad-minded as possible and open and accepting as possible without compromising one iota. You stick to your values. You stick exactly to what the right way to act is, the right way to speak, the right way to dress, the right way to learn, the right way to daven, and we stand on our principles. We can have a Pesach, a Matzah, and a Maror together, but you have to learn from Hillel and his base mentorship how to be humble and how to be open-minded as well. And we complain that there's no Achdus in Klal Yisrael. You have to first look at our own table? Do we have korech at our own Pesach tables with different types of people there and different types of backgrounds and different types of experience? Now, I think hopefully everybody understands a little bit of what is going on in Eretz Yisrael and very, very difficult political situation. If it was explained to you or it wasn't explained to you, it's certainly a crisis that is a very real thing. And, you know, if you've seen the pictures of, you know, protests in Tel Aviv and people cramming into the streets, but also at the same time, Haredi people going in and handing out Shalom to Erev Shabbos and, you know, singing Shalom Aleichem and trying to make the best of it. We need a world of more Hillels, of more Korechs, of people being able to stand on their principles, but being broad and open to be able to see other people's perspectives and to respect them for who they are, be able to have the broadness of Hillels together with those who are on the right, those who are on the left, even though we might not agree with the outlook, try to bring people, as many people in as possible.